بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تسجد أشعار وبعرف بالله ذاتي أقدس أزد معنا شاهكي محمد أخصص أبنور الله مرقده. The title is يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة. يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة مبارك تجھے قیام مدينة. يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة مبارك تجھے قیام مدينة. بلا جان کیا جام مینا عالم تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینا. بلا جان کیا کیف اے خوش حرام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ. مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ. مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ. مدینہ 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 برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ. مدینہ 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 برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ. نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چھو جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ.
جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ، سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ، ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ، ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ.
This is the poem, the Ash'ar of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawwar Allahu Maqadahu. Hazrat Maulana, he had ardent love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ardent love for Madinatul Munawwarah. So Hazrat Maulana is talking about Madina Munawwarah in this poem. We'll try to express certain glimpses of the love that Hazrat Maulana had for Madina Munawwarah, but to get the true spirit and the true meaning of this ashar will be very difficult because our hearts are not so linked up to Madinatul Munawwara. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala link our heart to Madinatul Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala link our heart to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Maulana is mentioning, he's drawing the picture of the morning of Madina Munawwara and the evening, the afternoon of Madinatul Munawwara. One is the morning of today and the morning of 1400 years ago. So even if we talk of today's time, ask any person that goes for Umrah, any person that goes for Hajj, and they pass through Madinatul Munawwara, they'll say Madina is just a tranquil place. When you put your foot down in Madina Munawwara, then you forget of everything else. It's just like you're in a different part of the world. So even if we take today's time,
that Medina Munawwara, which is so tranquil, that Medina Munawwara, which is so peaceful. So Hazrat Maulana is mentioning that, think of that morning and think of that afternoon and think of the evening of Medina Munawwara. Then he is saying that how blessed are those people who Allah Ta'ala made it they can stay in Medina Munawwara. One is for us to go for a few days and you get this feeling. And think of those people who 24 hours are taking benefit from Medina Munawwara. They in that environment of Medina Munawwara, they literally the neighbors of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana is mentioning that this whole environment of Medina Munawwara, how can I explain it to you? It's so full of goodness. This entire environment of Medina, there's nothing that words can express to show how blessed, how mubarak, how tranquil, how peaceful is this environment of Medina Munawwara. And then he's saying that in every gully of Medina Munawwara, in everywhere you lift your eyes up, then just picture this, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foot also tramped on this land. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum's foot also tramped on this land. How blessed am I to put my foot in a place when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also treaded. Ulama mention, see, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make Eid Salah, used to go on the outskirts of the city to make Eid Salah. So now you call it Masjid al-Ghamama. That was the area where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the Eid Salah. So they say they deduce from here that the entire haram of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the area of Medina of Yastaya. So when you in the haram of Medina, they say be 100% guaranteed that somewhere the foot of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam definitely touched. The foot of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum definitely touched that area of the haram. So when you in the haram, then just have this thought in your mind that this is the same place where my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked. One level higher, I stand to correction, but I think was Imam Malik, rahmahumullah. He never used to walk with shoes in Medina Munawwar. He said that how can I put a shoe on as if to say I'm putting a shoe on top of the footstep of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the respect they had for Medina Munawwara. But that is a little higher level. For us, the starting point for myself first is just to have this thought in the mind that this land that I'm on, Allah has blessed me to be on the same land where my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked. The other mana is mentioning that when you lift up your head in Medina, then there also, everywhere you look is something that demands respect. Just this land of Medina Munawwara is something that's supposed to be sacred to your heart. And everywhere you go, you're just supposed to have respect. In the same light, they say, try your best not to make any sin in Medina Munawwara. Because now you're right in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now picture if you doing a sin, that news is going to Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your ummati is doing this sin. So ulama mention your utmost best, try to abstain from committing any sin in Medina Munawwara. Then ulama mention that one is for those people who go to Medina Munawwara. And for us, they say when you're reading durud, the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in hadith that when a person says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person sends salawat upon Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then an angel is there to take your salawat from you and he goes directly to Medina Munawwara and he says, oh Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your ummati, the son of so and so, he sent durud to you. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns the durud back. Ulama mentioned from here that one is when you send durud to Allah, to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, you send the durud. So it's a direct connection between you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends durud back, goes to Allah, and the connection is made to you. So ulama mentioned that when you make durud, then picture this. Ulama mentioned that quantity is not important in Sharia. Quality is what is important. So you can make a habit of reciting 10 durood every day. But when you read the durood, then read it with this feeling that the angel is taking my durood, is going to deliver it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is replying back to my durood. Other ulama say that when you're reciting durood, then picture you in front of the golden gate, the golden door in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you can hear Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the answer back. He said, this will bring quality in your durood. So, one is for those people who's there, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to your durood. And those who are a little bit far away, your durood is given to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is replying to your durood. Then, Hazrat Mawlana is mentioning now, Medina, 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 just taking the name of this place, how much love it brings in the heart, how much sweetness it brings in the heart, just by saying the name Medina. Why? Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina. Once you connected to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anything connected to him automatically is going to be joy to the heart. Then he says that in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then even if the king has to come, it's nothing. Once you realize that this is my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you can be the king of the kings in this world, but it will mean nothing. And you can be a pauper, but your heart is connected to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to say your dunya and your akhirah is made. Then Hazrat Mawlana is mentioning that everybody is looking for contentment of heart. Any person you ask, you say, no, I'm looking for contentment of heart. My heart is, you know, either depression, or I got this stress, and I got that stress, and I got that stress. Every person is looking for contentment of the heart. So Hazrat Mawlana mentions that, where are you looking for contentment of the heart? You really want true contentment of the heart? Then true contentment of the heart is in the system of Medina Munawwara. And then Hazrat Mawlana is not talking of Medina Munawwara today. He's talking of Madinatul Munawwara and the system of Madinatul Munawwara 1400 years ago. And we hear from the Khanqa many a times, you want to progress in life, then you have to go back 1400 years. You want to go forward in life, then you have to adopt the system of 1400 years ago. So the man is mentioning the same thing here, that you want contentment of the heart. Then contentment of the heart, you're not going to find in today's technology. You're not going to find it in today's world. You're going to find it in the system that was used in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring the sunnah in your life. Once the sunnah enters your life, automatically your life will be filled with contentment. And then Hazrat is mentioning that you want to free yourself from all the worries of this world and the qabr and the akhirah. You want freedom from all anxiety. Then he says that just from the bottom of your heart, become a servant of Medina Munawwara. One is literally, when you hear somebody is going to Medina Munawwara, then try to be of service to that person. Other is make dua for the people in Medina Munawwara. And one is the system of Medina Munawwara, the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, become a slave of that. Bring the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. But do it from the bottom of your heart. Hazrat Mawlana mentioned to us many a times the example of putting on a trouser. You can either tell somebody to hold the two sides of the trouser and you try and jump into the trouser. You might make it, you might get hurt. Or you can put the trouser on the left hand side first. Or you can put the trouser on the right hand side first. You have the choice to do it. But the true lover will say, how did my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do it? My Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, put the right on first, then you will put the right on first. So Hazrat Mawlana is mentioning that when you see this Medina Munawwara, then that love of Medina Munawwara must come into the heart. And how is this love of Medina Munawwara going to come into the heart? By bringing the sunnah alive in your life. Allah Ta'ala grant me first the tawfiq and then grant each one of us the love for the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, realization of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and together with it, Allah Ta'ala make us true servants of Madinah Munawwarah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد حضرت مولانا صبري ثاني رحمة الله عليه mentioned the first chapter for how the Muslims can come out of their problems is for Iman and the second one is to acquire knowledge. The following simple method enables the general public to acquire deen knowledge. Number one, those working with the Urdu language should study authentic Urdu books of the deen. Example, Bahishi Zawar, Ta'alimuddin, Qasr al-Sabil, Tabligh al-Din, and Tathir al-Mawa'id. These books should be studied in Latin from a reliable alim. If the services of such a teacher are not available, then read and study these books on your own until you find someone to teach you. Wherever you do not understand, make a mark, seek clarification whenever you meet someone of knowledge. Whatever knowledge you acquire in this way, impart it to others as well. Make a special effort to teach such knowledge which you have acquired to your wife and children. These are the people who are able to read, study authentic kitabs in the language. Number two, those unable to read should endeavor to enlist the services of one who is versed in reading. The instructor should read and explain the books to his class. At the same time, they should refer their deeni questions to him for explanation. It is best and most beneficial if such a knowledgeable man can be engaged permanently. If necessary, he should be paid a salary, which should be the responsibility of the community. All can contribute towards the salary. To raise a salary for an ustad is not at all difficult. People squander considerable amounts of money on unnecessary and unlawful worldly luxuries. Contributing a bit towards one's own deeni life, which in reality is the capital and means of one's everlasting life in the year after, is no sacrifice. In appointing a teacher and selecting the books for the syllabus, do not be directed by your personal opinion and choice. Seek the advice of a pious alim. Number three, refer your affairs to some pious alim so that you may know and understand if your affairs and activities are in conformity with the Sharia. Whenever you wish to embark on a venture, deeni or worldly, and you are not certain of the Sharia ruling and requirements pertaining to that venture, seek the advice and guidance of a pious alim. What you learn in this way, impart it to others as well. Should you not have the opportunity of going personally to such an alim, then seek his counsel and guidance by means of a letter. In today's time, by means of email or whatever, easier ways also. Number four, occasionally endeavor to meet pious ulama. Sit in their company and listen to their talks and advice. It is very beneficial to go especially to meet them. However, if you lack the means of going to meet them, or the opportunity does not arise, and no such pious alim is nearby, then whenever such an opportunity comes your way, take advantage of it and spend some time in their company. When in the company of such an alim, ask him about your deeni affairs. Number five, another important duty is to occasionally invite a reliable and good deeni lecturer to your town or neighborhood. When contemplating to invite a lecturer, seek the advice of a pious alim. Do not invite just anyone. When listening to his lecture, do so with great attention so that the love and fear of Allah Ta'ala enters your heart. Practicing in accordance with the commands of the deen will then become a simple matter. The above is a brief explanation of several simple ways of learning and teaching deeni knowledge. Determination and steadfastness will result in the easy acquisition of the essential teachings of deen. In addition to the adoption of the aforementioned methods, it is essential to abstain from two harms. Number one, never attend or participate in the gatherings and functions of the kuffar and those who have gone astray. Firstly, words of kuffar and deviation produce darkness in the heart. Secondly, at such gatherings, there is the possibility of a Muslim being provoked. His iman may become inflamed because of haram acts being committed or statements of blasphemy uttered. His anger may lead to dispute and strife. On the other hand, if one is unable to voice one's anger, one will be overtaken by depression and frustration. One's peace of mind will be wrecked. And number two, refrain from disputes and debates. In the majority of cases, debates produce darkening of the heart, ill feeling and frustration. Another very harmful effect of attending such gatherings and functions and engaging in debates is doubt and confusion. A statement of falsehood or kufr may throw the unqualified one with insufficient knowledge, into great mental confusion. One may be influenced by the falsehood, and due to insufficient knowledge, the doubt will linger and not be dispelled. Thus, by attending such functions, one unnecessarily invites great spiritual calamity upon oneself. One attends at the harm of one's iman. Should anyone try to attend, to put you into a debate, refuse firmly and refer him to the ulama. Adherence to these instructions and methods will, inshallah, ensure dini and imani health. You will be fortified spiritually and morally. You will be safe from the diseases which attack the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist you, assist us and grant us tawfiq.